Thank you, Dr. Rizzo, for the introduction. Good morning. Good morning. As Dr. Rizzo mentioned, I will be presenting a study on the interactions between lifestyle factors and tobacco smoke on lung cancer risk in a Chinese population. There were no personal financial relationships with commercial interests relevant to this presentation during the past 12 months. As many of you may know, lung cancer is the most common cancer in the world. Over 1.8 million new cases are diagnosed each year, and 36% of these occur in China. Lung cancer is also the most common cause of death due to cancer worldwide. It is estimated to be responsible for almost 1 in 5 cancer-related deaths. And of all deaths due to lung cancer, 37% occur in China. Therefore, lung cancer is a serious public health problem and an especially critical issue among the Chinese population. Now, as we all know, tobacco smoking is the number one cause of lung cancer. And China's high rate of lung cancer is directly related to its population's lifestyle factors, the most important of which is tobacco smoking. It is estimated that in China, there are 350 million current first-hand smokers and an additional 500 million daily second-hand smokers. And throughout this presentation, I will be using the terms second-hand smoke and passive smoking interchangeably, as well as first-hand smoke and active smoking. There is a huge disparity in smoking prevalence between men and women in China. Whereas 60% of the men smoke, only 4% of the women do. In addition to smoking, there are many other lifestyle factors, such as cooking practices and dietary habits, which also affect lung cancer risk among the Chinese. Our research team hypothesized that these lifestyle factors may interact with tobacco smoke in lung cancer development, just as asbestos and smoking have been shown to interact synergistically to increase lung cancer risk. So we carried out the current study in order to test for both the main effects and potential interactions between selected lifestyle factors and tobacco smoke on lung cancer risk. The data for our study came from the Jiangsu 4 Cancer Study, which is a large population-based case control study of cancers of the lung, liver, stomach, and esophagus. All study participants came from a rural area of Jiangsu province, which is located in southeastern China. Jiangsu province is an ideal location for carrying out this type of a study due to its high cancer incidence and mortality rates, as well as its well-established cancer registry. Study participants were adults who had been living in one of 4 counties in Jiangsu for at least 5 years. Cases were patients with newly diagnosed primary cancer of the lung, reported to the county's cancer registry between 2003 and 2010. Controls were randomly selected from the same counties as the cases, and those with a previous history of cancer were excluded from the study. Data were collected through in-person interviews using a standardized questionnaire. The interviewers measured the participants' weight, height, and blood pressure and collected blood samples. And when a case was too ill to participate, a family member served as a proxy respondent. We used unconditional multivariate logistic regression to estimate the main effects of tobacco smoke exposure and a number of selected lifestyle factors on the risk of lung cancer and tested for their interactions by adding product terms into the models. And all statistical analyses were carried out using SNAPs. The first table shows the distributions of major sociodemographic factors by case status. There were a total of 2,871 lung cancer cases and 8,019 controls. The cases and controls were similarly distributed in terms of age, sex, education, and income level. Approximately 30% of the participants were female, and the mean age was about 64 years old. And about half of the participants had no formal education, and the mean income was very low. About 2,200 yuan is equivalent to about 350 US dollars. As expected, both first-hand and second-hand smoke increased the risk of lung cancer. The potential confounders we adjusted for in our models included age, sex, income, education, county of residence, body mass index, family history of lung cancer, and the other lifestyle factors included in our analysis. So after adjusting for these potential confounders, the odds ratio for the association between active smoking and lung cancer was 2.74. Among never smokers, the association between passive smoking and lung cancer gave us an odds ratio of 1.62. We defined never smokers as those who have smoked fewer than 100 cigarettes in their lifetime. Next, we looked at associations between indoor air pollution factors and lung cancer risk by smoking status. Using coal for cooking was associated with an increased risk of lung cancer in both ever smokers and never smokers. Now, contrary to what has been reported in some previous studies, in this study, using high temperature oil for cooking was not associated with lung cancer. Use of solid fuel for heating was positively associated with lung cancer among ever smokers, but showed no association among never smokers. However, when we stratified the never smokers by passive smoking status, solid fuel use was associated with an increased risk of lung cancer among those exposed to passive smoking. So we observed statistically significant multiplicative interactions between solid fuel use and both active and passive smoking. Poor ventilation in the household was marginally associated with an increased risk of lung cancer. There were also dietary factors associated with lung cancer risk. Raw garlic consumption and green tea drinking were both associated with a decreased risk of lung cancer in both ever and never smokers. Among never smokers, the protective effect of green tea was more apparent among those who were exposed to passive smoking than those who were unexposed. Moderate alcohol drinking was marginally associated with a decreased risk of lung cancer, while heavy drinking was associated with a small increased risk. Now, we defined moderate drinking as drinking one or two drinks per day, and heavy drinking as drinking more than two drinks a day. We also looked at fruit and vegetable consumption, but found no association. Now, to summarize, the results of our study suggest that in this Chinese population, lung cancer risk is increased by exposure to tobacco smoke and indoor air pollutants. On the other hand, raw garlic and green tea may have protective properties against lung cancer development. Garlic is high in flavanols and organosulfur compounds. In particular, quercetin, flavonoids in garlic has been hypothesized to reduce tobacco carcinogen activity by inhibiting the expression of cytochrome P450 and phase 1 enzymes. Green tea contains polyphenols, which are naturally occurring antioxidants with anti-tumor properties. In addition, various components of green tea have been shown to affect both inflammation and immunity. Further studies are needed to see whether our findings can be replicated in other settings. There are about 1.3 billion smokers worldwide, which makes tobacco smoking one of the most important avoidable causes of morbidity and mortality. While tobacco control is undeniably one of the most crucial challenges faced by the public health community, it is also important to recognize that there are other behavioral and environmental factors which can help reduce the morbidity and mortality caused by tobacco smoking. Therefore, public health efforts should be directed toward both the reduction of active and passive smoking, as well as further research and dissemination of knowledge about lifestyle factors which can help alleviate the burden of disease caused by tobacco smoking. I would like to acknowledge the co-investigators of this project. Thank you for your attention, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you so much for the presentation. And maybe I have a first question. So you saw that there was some impact or a lower risk among those who were eating garlic, raw garlic, and were drinking green tea. Do you have any information on the amount that was necessary? And also, could that also indicate some other patterns where the tea drinkers and the garlic eaters, or those who ate more, in some way different than others?
Right, sure. So the way we defined raw garlic consumption was eating raw garlic at least twice a week. When we looked at people who consumed raw garlic just about once a week, there was no difference compared with those who reported not eating raw garlic. So the amount that showed, the minimum amount that showed a protective effect was twice a week of raw garlic consumption. For green tea, those who reported drinking green tea at least once a week for the past 6 months were considered to be green tea drinkers. Now that's assuming that their green tea drinking habit was a long-term habit. So that is an assumption that we made. And the effect, the protective effect that we saw could have been related to, you know, other factors that, you know, put people who eat raw garlic or drink green tea apart from those who don't. We did try to adjust for other potential confounders that we could think of, but it's also possible that these people are, you know, conscious of their health and exercise more and have other healthy habits that showed them, that gave them a lower risk of lung cancer.
Thank you. More questions?
So how do you define the intensity to which a person might be exposed? Because not everybody is exposed to the same level of secondhand smoke. So I was wondering how you made that distinction.
Right. So the question was how we define passive smoking. In China especially, and even in other countries, nobody is never exposed to passive smoking, right? So the way we identified a person as a passive smoker was if they had lived with a smoker for more than 15 years. Sorry, we first looked at 15, we looked at different levels, but for this study, if they had reported living with a smoker for more than 1 year, they were defined as passive smokers. We also had detailed information regarding their intensity and duration of exposure, and we observed monotonic relationships between both the intensity and duration of passive smoking and lung cancer risk.
Thank you. Thank you.
Dr. Harvey.
Very well known. Obviously, you kind of suffered from a strawberry environmental air pollution environment in the top of the population. Does this have an effect on the results?
Right. So this area was a rural area that where solid fuel use, which is considered a type of fossil fuel, is very prevalent. And your question is whether we looked at interactions. Are you speaking about outdoor air pollution in particular? Right. So we would assume that even the people who reported not using solid fuel or coal used for cooking within the household were exposed to high levels of outdoor air pollution, including those coming from solid fuel. But we hypothesize that those who within the household were exposed to even higher levels of indoor air pollutants would have a higher, even higher risk of lung cancer, which is what we saw. We did not specifically measure outdoor air pollution levels. We did ask if they lived near a factory and things like that, but we did not have accurate measures of outdoor air pollution levels. But these participants did come from the same counties, so we consider them to be comparable to each other.
Okay, one more question. Yeah, maybe right there.
This radon gas is the second main cause of lung cancer outside of smoking. And they're in rural areas. Did you guys look at that as an indoor air pollution at all?
So the question is whether we looked at radon gas as a type of exposure. No, unfortunately, we did not have that in our questionnaire.
Thank you so much for your very interesting presentation.